Hi, welcome back. I wanted to talk to you for a few minutes about my takeaways from my conversation with Linda Siberski. First thing I thought that was really interesting about the conversation I had with her is how one tragedy or one, really tough event that might happen in your life might bring back something else in your life historically that has been really tough to deal with. For example, in her case, she was in New York City at a building right next to one of the Twin Towers when the planes hit. And so she had to walk outside not knowing exactly what was happening, not knowing what to expect. And she went through that experience and then seeing the second plane hit the second tower and then, fearing for her life and having to make her way across the Brooklyn Bridge as those towers were falling and all that. And that was a really big, important, tragic, frightening event for her. And so then when she later, many years later, has a car wreck that is also tragic, you could see from the interview that 9/11 came up a lot, and you can see how those things tended to and seem like they maybe compounded on one another. And I thought that was interesting, and I can see how that might affect people in the future. And that's one of the, after a catastrophic accident, and that is one of the reasons why the mental health aspect of the treatment of these kinds of injuries is important, so that you can try to address those things and then be free to go out and do the things that you need to do to live your life and take care of your family and be happy and joyful and have a purpose-filled life. So I thought that was an important thing that she mentioned is how the one tragedy impacted the other. The second thing that I thought was important is that she said that when she went to the ER, they have initially evaluated her. They said, you have no broken bones, you have no life-threatening injuries. And so because of that, they sort of turned her loose and said, that's what ERs do. That's what emergency rooms do. They look for broken bones, life-threatening injuries, and if you pass those, you don't have either of those problems, then they will release you back out into the world. But she really did have some serious injuries, and she knew she listened to her body. She knew she was in pain. She went and had follow-up treatment, and it was in that follow-up treatment that she was able to find out that she had two shoulder tears. The MRIs, which can reveal soft tissue damage, showed that she had, as a result of her car being hit and flipping several times, it showed that she had serious shoulder injuries that required two additional surgeries. And if she hadn't been listening to her body and she hadn't gone and had sought that follow-up treatment, then she would have just lived with that forever. And because it's important to realize that gaps in treatment, when you have an event and then you don't seek treatment for a long time, that will be a basis for insurance companies denying their responsibility and paying for the treatment and the damage that is caused by that. And so you have a duty to mitigate after an accident. You have a duty to mitigate your damages and get as better as you can, as fast as you can, and that includes getting the medical treatment that's necessary in order for you to get better. The third thing that I thought was interesting about what she said is her motivations behind this. She was angry that it was unnecessary and that somebody's carelessness had cost her so much. She was angry about that. But for her, like a lot of people, it wasn't necessarily about money, or at least that's their initial thought process, because they're not greedy. They don't want to, they're not people who just generally like to sue other people. A lot of the people who are, almost everybody that we represent says the same thing. They don't want to sue somebody else. But what they do want to do is to be made whole. And what that requires is for us to do the things that will have them be made whole, which includes accounting and documenting for the ways in which they were negatively impacted, the medical bills that they have to pay back, the medical treatment that they had to go through, the lost economic benefit that they would have otherwise had, future medical impairment, permanent impairment, future medical treatment. All those things have to be accounted for. And so that puts me in the place where I have to be focused on the money, because I cannot make her better. If I could have made her better, I would have done that long ago. But what I can do is document those things and build these cases in such a way is I can get them the most money possible, because that is what the law allows me to give them to replace what was taken from them, is money. And it's not a perfect solution, but it's the best solution that there is to be able to get the money to provide that medical treatment, to replace that lost income, to get the medical treatment in the future they need, and to compensate them for the things that they can't do in the future going forward. And maybe they can use that money to find substitute things that they could do that would provide them with purpose, joy, and happiness. Those are the three takeaways I have from my conversation with Linda Sibersky. Thank you for joining us.